USAA is proudly celebrating 100 years of serving the military community. It was a group of soldiers who launched USAA in 1922 by joining together to insure each other's vehicles when no one else would. Since then, USAA has grown to more than 13 million members strong. And through it all, one thing has remained. USAA is still serving the military community and their families. Find out more at usaa.com/100.
And hot! Welcome to the Veterans Voice, presented by USAA. Veterans Voice is a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, originating from the Optum Podcast Studio in partnership with podcast channel sponsor, Medicare Mentors, technology partner, Colorado Computer Support, and supporting partner, the Wirenut Home Services.
Welcome to the Veterans Voice podcast. This week, we're on with John and Rev from our internal Department of Transition and Employment here at Mount Carmel. We're going to kind of go over each of their stories as vets, how they got out, transitioning, maybe some struggles they dealt with, and then how the current section they work in helped veterans to eliminate those struggles. So if you guys want to stay tuned, hopefully a lot of listeners can relate and maybe get over here to Mount Carmel, take advantage of the T&E section or transition employment section, and kind of prevent some of the struggles that vets are dealing with nowadays. So John, Rev, how's it going today?
Good.
I'm doing great.
Nice. What military service branch were you guys in?
Air Force.
Yep, I was Air Force too.
So. Both Air Force, and I was Army, so I was on the struggle bus for 13 years while you guys were eating gourmet pancakes and stuff.
Yeah.
What bases were you guys all at?
Yeah, so most of the bases I was here was here actually here in Colorado.
Oh, cool.
So, I'm a space guy by trade, mm-hmm. and so I did time in Cheyenne, my missile time.
Okay.
But then most of my space time, they just kept me here. So I was at Schriever. Schriever, Peterson, then they sent me over to Buckley.
Okay.
Up in Denver, right? And then I ended out my career at the Air Force Academy
okay.
in the athletic department. So they kept me here in Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did it. People asked me how I did that, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty magical. I grew up on the East Coast, and I joined the military to come. I wanted to come to Fort Carson. I wanted to come to Colorado. For 9 years, I was on the East Coast, like Fort Benning, Fort Bragg, all these places I didn't want to be anymore. Finally got to Colorado, and then I stayed. Now I'm a civilian.
Yeah.
So how about you, John?
So kind of like Rev, I'm a recovering thermonuclear hitman. Nice. I started out in Montana, did that. And then after that, I transitioned to the Intel career field. So I was at Shaw, the Pentagon twice, Korea, Texas, and then finally retired out of NORAD Northcom.
Okay. What's the Pentagon like? If you can tell me.
It's just like any other staff position. It's just you're in a real historical building, sure. and there's a lot of four stars roaming around.
Yeah, makes sense.
I almost crashed into the chairman of the Joint Chiefs because I'd gotten called by the J2 to come to his office, and I came skittering around a corner, and there he was, and I'm like, he kind of looks down. He's like, relax, Captain. The general's not going to kill you. Probably.
Yeah. Unless he spills coffee or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to the Pentagon. I've been around D.C., super intimidating area. Didn't like it. So,
yeah. Traffic sucks.
Yeah, that's for sure. Your GPS says 5-minute drive, 50 minutes, you're still in traffic.
Yeah. I got lucky. I could take the Metro rail.
Oh, nice. So how'd you end up in Colorado? You wanted to be?
I was fat, dumb, and happy. I was getting ready to retire, and I was on a TDY, and an assignment came through, and my boss was like, he didn't say he was getting ready to retire, so he didn't say anything about it.
Oh, nice.
And so I had passed my 7-day option,
right.
So I was kind of obligated to come up here
okay.
for my final tour.
Neat. You got more guests for both of you guys. Did you kind of enjoy Colorado as a state, not just for the military, like being outdoors, hobbies, things like that, or not so much?
I absolutely love
nice.
Colorado.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Southern California in the desert.
Oh, man.
Mojave Desert, whatever. I love the desert, by the way, still.
Yeah.
But once I got to Colorado, anything outdoorsy. So anything recreation, mm-hmm. I do it. So
that's
once
awesome.
I got here, when they kept saying, like, you're going to stay in Colorado. And I'm like, oh, man, that stinks. That really stinks. I get to do more rock climbing and more pickleball and more everything that we do here in Colorado.
That's awesome.
So I absolutely love it here.
Yeah.
even, I mean, I got my kids here and this and that, whatever. I'm not moving anytime soon.
That's awesome. Whatever.
Love it.
I'll have to hit you up about pickleball. Me and my girlfriend are just talking about joining a league this year.
Oh, yeah?
So maybe after the microphone's off.
We'll have to do that afterwards. I'm a sponsored pickleball player, so you come let me.
Perfect. Yeah. We can end the episode now.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, let's get into, you know, like when you guys were transitioning out of the military, because that is your guys' section here at Mount Carmel. Transition and employment. I know I got a transition story. I'm sure most veterans do. It's usually not a happy story. So tell me a little bit about how you guys got out before you were in, like, you know, T&E here at Mount Carmel, like way back when you guys were getting out of the military. How did that process go for you guys?
Go, John.
Yeah. So I retired back in 12. When I retired, the economy was kind of in the dump. Mm-hmm. It's not like it is now where it's relatively decent.
Sure.
So it was kind of a struggle. And, you know, for me, unfortunately, as an intel guy with an expiring clearance, the contractors were like, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, Fred over here has got 5 years left in his clearance and mm-hmm. you come with a bill. Yeah. So they'd hire Fred. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. for me personally, it was a bit of a struggle. And unfortunately, Mount Carmel hadn't stood up yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had to kind of find my own way. And I eventually did. Landed a gig as a project manager for a construction and engineering company. So there's a, you know, there's several buildings around here I've got my hands on.
Right.
You know, none of them have fallen down, so I got that going for me.
Nice. Yeah, it was probably pretty intimidating, I guess, going from like military to civilian, like applying for jobs, creating a resume, things like that. Like,
yeah.
How'd you deal with all that?
Well, it was kind of ugly. You look at some of my early resumes and I'm like, wow. Yeah. I'd be having a long conversation with you.
Yeah.
If I was me now sitting at my desk
right.
as a client, like, yeah, you really need to fix this because it doesn't say anything.
Oh, wow.
You know, the biggest thing is having a lot of that quantifiable data.
Sure.
You know, if you're just like, yeah, you know, I ran a shop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so did everybody else in the military yeah. probably once they, you know, became a NCO or company grade officer. So
yeah, it's almost like resumes are like a different language. And if you don't understand the language, you need someone to help you interpret the language so that
yeah.
the companies that are looking for you can, you know, look for what they're looking for. But
yeah, it's amazing. You know, when I ask guys, hey, so were you ever Airman of the Month? They're like, oh, yeah, 4 times. Why isn't that on your resume? Nobody cares about that.
Yeah,
I said, drop the word airman and put the word employee in there. And then you see this light bulb come on and they're like, you know, knock their forehead and they're like, ah, oh, geez. And, you know, it's one of those, hey, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to somebody, you can get those insights.
Right.
Definitely pick up, you know, some of those tips.
Yeah, for sure.
You're listening to The Veteran's Voice, presented by USAA in partnership with Optum, Medicare Mentors, Colorado Computer Support, and the Wirenut Home Services.
How about you, Rev? Getting out, transitioning?
Mine was a little bit different. So I had a medical retirement, and it was at 18 years. Mm. So it was like I was right there. And because of my medical retirement, it became, once it was determined, it came so quickly, I only had a couple months to do everything.
Sure.
So it was everything was dropped at me, like retirement ceremony or this. We had to get certificates and this and that. So when they enrolled me into my TAP class, you know, it was already like fire hose.
Wow.
And like, here's your date. And so, good thing for me, like I tried to pay attention to that TAP class. I mean, I was pretty focused mm-hmm. because I was just like, wow, I need this as, you know, I know everybody needs it, but I was really focused in and I was like, oh, I'm going to need it like right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. But I didn't really have that like time to really plan my date. I didn't have time to like, oh, am I going to travel? There's right. first, am I, you know, how am I going to slow roll it a little bit and this and that, whatever. So,
And what year, what time frame was this?
This was very end of 2019 for me.
Okay.
And, so I decided, to go, I took TAP class, but, luckily I used all the resources that came out. So, you know, rather than the writing down and be like, yeah, we'll contact you. I almost contacted everyone I could at that time.
Smart.
Whatever. And luckily I was able to, I started coaching right away over here at Palmer High School.
Okay.
Their women's soccer team and their boys tennis team.
Cool.
Right. Just kind of wanted to stay with the sports thing.
Absolutely.
Since it's my background, a lot of my background with that. So, but Yeah, it was a little bit. It was a little bit tough just because I didn't have that give a year.
Yeah,
whatever.
For sure.
Or here's my date. Let me talk to my family on when I can. Whatever. So for me, luckily, I was able to stay focused enough. But I really had to work at it. That's what I really maybe what I'd like to let people. If I was more anxious and more freaked out about it, mm-hmm. and I went in there like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Rather than I was like, what am I going to do? So I better listen. Mm-hmm. So to whether Mark Cromwell or a friend or a commander you trust, a sergeant you trust, whatever, you know, just get in there and listen and be focused. Just mm-hmm. be mindful when they're, you know, because the only one who's going to, they're trying to help you. They're trying to help you with your transition. They've already been through it. We've already been through this.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so we're just trying to help out.
Yeah, that was probably a little bit scary. What was like the time frame when they told you you're getting medically retired to the time you were out?
It was like 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah. It was pretty quick.
That's scary,
yeah,
man.
it was pretty quick.
Holy cow. So, yeah. How about you, John? How about like from the time you decided to get out to the time you were out?
For me, I had a year.
A year.
So
okay.
You know, they came out and they said, hey, we're going to have a selective early retirement board. Mm-hmm. And so in my case, you know, I had a really small detachment. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things, the way the Air Force was doing assignments at the time. If I risked the SERB and got SERB, then I'd only have 7 days to get out.
Jeez.
And the unit wouldn't have been able to get anybody for 6 months.
Wow.
But if I set that date, the Air Force personnel system would plan and – Even with all that, I was still retired for 2 months before my replacement showed up.
Okay.
So, you know, I had a, you know, young captain. She was in there running everything. Mm-hmm. And then just with her timing, her baby came a little bit early. Mm-hmm. So the shop was kind of left alone.
Sure. Yeah, I think the moral of the story is what I'm hearing is like there's never a consistent schedule when you're transitioning out of the military. Because I got medically retired also. Mm-hmm. The going rate was about 6 to 9 months. It took me about 7.5 from the time they dropped my packet to the day I got out. Mm-hmm. It was about 7.5 months. To me, that wasn't enough time. So I can't imagine 2 months. Man, that's scary. But yeah, so through this uncertainty of transitioning out of the military, that's where you guys come in. So how does Mount Carmel's transition and employment section help veterans coming out? Maybe it's 2 months, 9 months, 1 year, however it is. How do you guys start to set soldiers up, you know, before they're even out to start transitioning in a healthy way?
So, you know, we'll sit down and, you know, we'll find out what they think they want to do once they get out. Because, you know, we get a lot of 11 Bravo, so infantrymen, and they're like, hey, yeah, I really don't want to become a cop or be, you know, a security guard somewhere. And I'm like, all right. So what do you think you want to do? And they're like, maybe IT. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, okay. So have you thought about using your tuition assistance, your certificate assistance through the military to pick up some IT certs? No. Well, hey, the Army's going to give you $4,000 to get some certs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, use that time, use that money to start picking up some of these certs. Do you have a clearance? Yes. Okay, that's a good thing. You know, that will definitely help. And so we'll start working on, you know, a plan. You know, what's the end state, you know, once you leave the military behind you that you want to be doing? You know, we'll work on them translating those skills that they picked up in the military into the civilian. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, if you've been Airman of the Month four times, you change that to Employee of the Month, and a lot of employers are like, oh, okay, so he's a high-speed guy.
You got to translate it from military to civilian language.
Right. Now, the other thing, too, is if one of them's, you know, like Rev, a space guy, and he's like, yeah, man, I want to go to work, you know, at Schriever on, say, the IRES contract. Okay, let's just keep that space-specific stuff in there because they're going to expect it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends. You know, if you're trying to leave what you did in the military completely behind, there's more translation versus, you know, you're just going to trade the uniform in for a suit and tie, basically doing the same stuff on that first day as a civilian. Maybe you don't translate as much.
Okay. So it sounds like you recommend a soldier come in while they're still active.
Yeah.
What timeline would you recommend?
About a year out from when their last day in the military is, not, you know, not their terminal leave, about a year out. You know, their spouses can come in whenever. You know, they can sit down with Blair. She's our spouse peer navigator, so she can work with all of those spouses, whether they're in now or they've been out for you know, even 10, 20, 30 years of the military.
1 year out. Yeah, that year goes quick.
And it does. You're going to wake up one morning and you go, oh, my name is Mr. now, not Sergeant.
Yeah.
So. Yep. And then you're going to wake up, it's going to be 6 months after you got out and you're still not doing anything. You're like, man, I need to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, John made a good point on the resume part on, you know, the translating and so forth. Because so what I did, I didn't know if I wanted to go straight into like that missile space contracting. So I had a military kind of resume, right? But then because I was always in, I played collegiate sports, I kept my certifications, kept my coaching certs, and so I had a civilian, if I wanted to stay in the sports industry, right? And if I needed to mix a little bit of it, so like if I, when I applied to, let's say, at USAFA at their, let's say, Cadet Fitness Center, right? So then I would merge a little bit of, the, of both, right? But I had those available. I think that's the stuff that we were able to, you know, like, come in and say like, hey, not just leave it or this and that. You might want this. You might want this. What other background do you have? Have you been doing something recreational on the side that, you know, that, you know, we can help with, you know, and, you know, keep some of that stuff too. Let it feed it into if that helps them with what they want to do in the future.
Yeah, I've heard that. You have like almost two or three resumes based on who you're applying to, which is, I think you actually told me that last time we had you on here. So that was new to me.
Yeah. So you want to have them targeted to the broad areas. So, you know, Rev's case, he's got one targeted to defense contracting and one targeted to sports. And then, you know, you go in and then you actually tailor it down to, hey, I'm applying at USAFA, or hey, it's Palmer High School, or wherever it is.
Medicare Mentors. When it's time to consider your Medicare options, it's time to talk with Medicare Mentors. Medicare Mentors, powered by Spark, is veteran-owned, a long-standing Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center partner, and the Veterans Voice podcast channel provider. More than that, they go above and beyond to make sure that when you need them, they are there lending a helping hand. Medicare Mentors, powered by Spark, always above and beyond. Visit MedicareMentorsLLC.com for more information.
The Veterans Voice is sponsored in part by Optum and is produced in the Optum Podcast Studio. Optum and Mountain View Medical Group offer 15 clinics throughout the Pikes Peak region. Their primary and specialty care doctors provide quality, patient-centered care backed by Optum's industry-leading health services and technology. They're dedicated to helping our community live healthier while keeping care affordable. Visit Optum.com/Colorado to learn more and schedule your appointment today. What's like a general, you know, pattern that you're seeing, you know, over the past couple months? Like, what's your population coming into Mount Carmel that needs your guys' assistance? So I'm just trying to like target a future audience that's maybe listening now so that we can kind of mitigate some of the time it takes for people to come in.
So, you know, our clients are everything from retiring 06s down to, you know, unfortunately, sometimes young soldiers get hurt and they're getting medically put out as E1s and E2s. So, you know, the medical ones are tough. You know, if they do end up in the soldier recovery unit, the soldier recovery unit does try to, you know, get them to come over and sit down with us. But yeah, it's the only rank I've never seen is any flag or field or fleet level. So, you know, those general officers and things like that, we've just never had one.
They're going to retire on a beach somewhere. That's
probably
what they're doing. So, man, that's funny. So how'd you get involved here, Rev? This is your first day? Is that
this
right?
This is my first day.
Awesome. And you're on a podcast.
So, what I wanted to do, I saw that my own, I took a couple jobs in the sports industry, right? Played pickleball and tennis and soccer. I coach all of them still. And all I wanted to do when I got out is I said, what I went back to maybe this resume kind of thing. It's what do you really want to do, Rev? And I was like, all I want to do is seriously help people. That's all I want to do. That's it. Right. So I was like, what kind? And then it's from there. It's like where I felt comfortable. I've worked with kids, youth, my whole life. But when I saw my own struggles with the medical issues, I had some mental health stuff, you know, that we can get into later. But all that, when I was just like, there's a lot of things that Mount Carmel and a whole bunch of other, you know, places, I was like, I think I can help because I've been now in those shoes, mm-hmm. right? And that wouldn't have come if they didn't happen. You know, I can say all day, like, I don't believe the medical retired me. But I was like, but all my success now, you know, not just today's first day at work, right? I mean, there's been many, many successes from there and some lows, right? Yeah. But I think that I have the ability now right. to be like, here's my story. Here's how I got through. And yes, I did go a year without a job. Right. And this is first day of work for me, like nice. First day without. But I stayed true. Stayed true to what I wanted to do. And I just didn't take the blank job.
Right.
Right? And that's what I told them when I first, you know, as they interviewed me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've been waiting for a year and I've been patient because it's someone that I want. And I want to help people that I know who struggle. And I don't want them to go through what I went through.
Yeah. We're all just helping each other. Yeah. That's a common theme. Everyone here at Mount Carmel all wanted to do this because they wanted to help yeah. other people that they could relate to. So, yeah. you know, I'm a retired Green Beret. I did 13 years. I got medically retired for PTSD, all kinds of mental health issues. Yeah. So I come in here and on the podcast, I feel like I can ask very specific questions to kind of get people to talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then my hopes is that listeners can relate and then they end up coming here too. And then we just create this big community of veterans helping veterans. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Thanks for coming on your first day. It's intimidating in here, I understand. But
no,
now that we're talking, we're rolling, we're good, right?
Yeah.
2 hours later.
Colorado Computer Support. Imagine never having to worry about your information systems ever again. Colorado Computer Support, the exclusive Veterans Voice technology partner meeting all of our computing needs. Colorado Computer Support is veteran-owned. They're your team for innovative, collaborative IT services and solutions to enhance and support your Colorado business. When you need IT services to keep your business going, make sure the Colorado Computer Support team is on your team. Call 719-355-2440. To learn more, that's 719-355-2440.
Wirenut Home Services. Every season brings a new strain on your home systems. Veterans Voice partner, the Wirenut Home Services, is the company you can count on to handle your heating, cooling, and electrical needs. They're family owned, proud to employ honest, hardworking Coloradans. When you need plumbing, heating, cooling, or electrical help, the Wirenut does that. Call 719-399-5021. That's 719-399-5021.
Let's get people in contact with you guys. If there are veterans listening or active duty and they want to get, you know, they're a year out, how do they get ahead and like start contacting you guys, get down here, phone numbers, emails, things like that?
So if they call our front desk at 719-772-7000, mm-hmm. you know, they'll answer the phone. They can explain, hey, you know, I'm getting ready to transition out of the military, and then they'll transfer them up. And I figure it's just easier to give out that generic number because if they do have that, you know, military veterans and family services type question, you know, where they're maybe going to find themselves behind on rent, calling that 719-772-7000 number okay. is just a lot easier.
Yeah.
It gives them one number. The front desk is experts in, you know, figuring out what they need.
Yeah, I like it. Because there's other resources here, not just you guys, transition employment. There's plethora of resources here at Mount Carmel.
Right. So we have veteran service officers. So again, if they call that 719-772-7000 number, they can transfer them over to the veteran service officers to help them with that VA claim. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's that initial one and they are staying here in Colorado, that's the one caveat. Mm-hmm. The two guys in our building, you have to be staying in Colorado.
Right.
You know, they can definitely help with that. If you're somebody who's been out for a while and you're like, hey, you know, I'm not satisfied with my VA claim, I think they missed a bunch mm-hmm. of things.
Right.
Calling and talking to those VSOs, they can help you do that reattack with the VA.
That's a big one.
You know, we've also got the mental health component. So it's not for crisis, but, you know, if you just want some of that routine care, mm-hmm. call that number. They'll get you transferred up to Viv and she'll get you scheduled.
Okay. Yeah, that was actually a question someone had asked. How do you get situated with one of our counselors here?
So the best thing to do is just call that generic 7000 number.
Gotcha.
They'll transfer them up to Viv. Viv will, you know, if she can take a phone call, she'll do it right then and there. If not, leave her a message. She'll call you back.
Okay.
But, you know, she can look at availability and get you scheduled.
Right.
And they'll figure out what that cost is going to be. So it could be as low as zero or there might be a nominal fee.
Gotcha.
For some of that.
Okay.
Some of that care because they really don't take insurance.
Okay. Understand. Yeah. There's so many resources. Every time I walk around down there, like the whole counseling section is just very, established and very welcoming, and you know, your guys' section, T&E, everything. So if you guys haven't been down here yet, definitely just come down Mount Carmel, check it out, spark up a conversation with literally anyone, because everyone's a veteran and everyone has a funny story to tell, and you guys can just kind of, you know, I can't say bad words on here, but you know, shoot around with, you know, some veterans and just get laughing again. But that kind of segues into the end of our show, where we usually ask veterans on the podcast to tell a story of some sort. So I think John probably did this last time, but we'll ask Rev first. Rev, just tell us a story from the time you were in the military that's just kind of funny, kind of stupid. Maybe it's like a basic training story from the first time you put a uniform on, it was backwards, like something stupid like that. But I think it's a good way to just kind of, you know, veterans like telling old war stories, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a war story, but just something funny.
Okay, yeah. Let's see. I got one. So I worked for the athletic. Luckily, I was able to get work for the athletic department at USAFA as my last assignment, as a special assignment. And the year that USAFA won back, the football team won back the Commander's Trophy, mm-hmm. right? They needed someone to... the next year, they show off your trophy, this and that, go on a little tour. So they picked, they said, Rev, you're in charge of the Commander's Trophy.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, nice. Right? So I was like, okay. So I fly out east. We're about to play West Point. And so we basically are doing this little spirit thing, going to a few bases, you know, getting Air Force a little riled up, you know, for the big game and so forth. But it's funny because when I got there, I had this van, just like I won't say Astro van-ish kind of. It wasn't too special. And then I go to this storage place that's like in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, where am I supposed to be? Right? It's in a box, just like wrapped up. And they're like, is this yours? They're kind of throwing it around. I'm like, do not tell me that the Commander's Trophy is in there. Just to believe, they open it, and it's right there.
Jeez.
And so like. I'm a sports guy, so when you hear like, oh yeah, Stanley Cup, it goes to this person as an episode, and I'm like, at one time I looked back, I was like, I'm in this like Astro van with the trophy back here, kind of half wrapped up, and like no one knows that I have it, and I'm like going all through, you know, it's gonna be in showcase here in a couple of days, and people taking pictures of it. And I'm like, I didn't.
Just rolling around in the back of the van.
I could have went and go get a chili dog or whatever. Yeah, you know, just,
that's funny.
Commander's Trophy just chilling with me. You know, I thought that was pretty funny. You just get to do stuff like, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Just stuff, little things like that. That, I mean, I would never expect that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, what rank were you at the time?
I think I just made Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So.
Man, that's a fun.
Me rolling around with the Commander's Trophy in an Astro van, you know?
No big deal.
With a chili dog in my hand or something.
You're in the Wendy's drive-thru. It's rolling around in the back. That's a good one. You got any other new ones, John?
So I'll share this one. So back early on in my career as an intel guy, I got an opportunity to go out to the Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And so they've been at sea for 4 months. You know, and just their transit to the Persian Gulf. They'd used up all the fresh supplies. Mm. So we'd spent the last 3 months in Saudi Arabia eating, you know, some okay food. I mean, you know, it generally tasted like you would expect.
Right.
But so we show up and, you know, land on the aircraft carrier in the COD, which is a e-ticket ride.
Yeah. 'Cause
you actually get stopped in 130 feet. From 130 miles an hour.
Yeah, I might have you explain that a little more. That's super interesting.
Yeah, so it's like kind of a bit of a shock, and you're flying backwards, so you get just pushed into the seat real hard.
Oh, I see.
And then
you're done.
You're done. And then it stops. So you know, we get out there, and so they take us to the mess, and they're serving sweet and sour chicken, mm-hmm. and so you know they're doing all that. And it's a tradition that the Air Force doesn't have, that the Navy does, that the enlisted guys, you know, take the trays away from the officers in that particular mess. And we're not, you know, a bunch of Air Force guys. And so we're grabbing trays and we're trying to figure out what to do with them. And the stewards are confused and they're like, no, sir, we got that. Then they're asking, so how was the food? And I'm like, oh, man, this was great. And the kid's really taken aback because at this point, the sailors are doing nothing but complain about the food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, man, this tastes like sweet and sour chicken. This is great. And he's like, thanks.
That's funny. Well, they've been eating the same sweet and sour chicken for right.
Kind of yeah, they probably have. You yeah. know, and for us, it was, wow, hey, man, this kind of tastes like what I'd normally right. expect to see back in the States.
Was it like chicken wings or was it kind of like?
It was, nutty? Like I said, it was Chinese sweet and sour chicken.
Okay.
So, you know, vegetables mixed in with the rice and sure. everything else.
And that was on a ship, right?
Yeah, on yeah. the Lincoln.
Yeah, my father was on, he was in the Navy 68 to 71, 72. He's got crazy stories about ships, but this reminded me of one. He can't eat chicken wings anymore to this day because oh, no. apparently when he was a young sailor, he went to go bite into a chicken wing and the outside was broiling hot. The inside was still raw around the bone. Oof. So he just can't look at a wing the same. He thinks the inside's going to be raw no matter what. So
yeah,
it's cool to hear that they've advanced on ships nowadays and can cook their food. Well, do you guys have anything else for today?
No, it should
we
be
can
it.
Wrap it up.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on your first day here at Mount Carmel. Yeah. And John, good as always. But yeah, this was our transition and employment podcast for Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. And like he was saying, if you guys are transitioning out in the next year or maybe you have transitioned out, no shame in coming down here to Mount Carmel and just reaching out, get a conversation started with somebody and they'll get you taken care of. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for coming on, John and Rev.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Veteran's Voice, presented by USAA. Veteran's Voice is a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center and originates from the Optum Podcast Studio, located on the Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center campus in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The podcast channel is provided by Medicare Mentors. Computing power is provided by technology partner Colorado Computer Support. Additional funding is provided by supporting partner the Wire Nut Home Services. Veterans Voice airs on flagship station KRDL News Radio Sundays at 7:30 a.m. The podcast publishes Saturday at 8 a.m. and is available on all your favorite podcast apps.